Canadian Summer by Silas Champion. Episode 1, Heartache in a Hard Hat. Roy looked down at his phone and scrolled through the new text messages. Allie had texted him at least 6 times in the last minute. As he read, the truck's tires dropped off onto the gravel shoulder of the winding mountain road. He jerked the truck back onto the pavement. Cale sat up sharply. "What's the road there, dude? I'd like to make it to Spearfish in one piece." Roy tossed his phone on the seat next to him. "You ain't gonna die, calm down." He shook his head and glanced in the mirror. He was tired of all this drama. He'd been checking his phone for her text for 1,000 miles. It was her again? Cale slouched back into his seat, placing his knee on the dashboard. "She broke up with you and now she's texting you all the way across South Dakota. Just ignore it." Roy removed his cowboy hat as the forested slopes of the Black Hills slid by. They left Deadwood far behind them. He sighed. "She says she wants to get back together. Do you want to?" Cale shifted his bulky frame in the seat again. The wind blew his shaggy hair. "I don't know," Roy said. "I'm tired of thinking about it. Shut the damn phone off." "Good plan. I want to survive till we make it to Canada." Cale picked up the phone. He looked at the screen and shook his head. "Good Lord, how do you read all these damn emojis?" Roy just grunted and stepped down on the accelerator. He'd hoped this trip would bring some freedom from all this uncertainty. So far, it was nothing but text messages. "She let you go," Cale said. "You're as free as a bird in a tree. Nothing but the open road before us. We got no time to think about some girl can't decide if she wants you or not. I didn't think the two of you were a good match anyway, you know." "I'm not sure you're the one should be throwing out love advice there, mister. I'm too afraid to ask out the girl I like." "Maybe I'm not exactly Dr. Love, but at least I'm not the one moping." Cale sat up again. He adjusted his baggy black t-shirt and shifted in the seat. "I'm not moping. When have I ever moped?" Roy knew Cale was right, but he didn't want to admit it. Cale wasn't too handy with the ladies, but he was a pretty good judge of people. Not in a mean way, but just in an honest way. "You stumbled right through that crazy horse memorial." Cale looked out at the pine trees. Roy shrugged. "I just thought it'd be more finished, that's all. It's a big rock in a museum. Mount Rushmore is much more impressive. Let's just not talk about her anymore, okay?" He was sick of thinking about this crap. Cale put his hand out the open window. "We've been planning this trip since January. Don't let her ruin it. It's a long way to Calgary, and I don't want to hear about her for the next 1,000 miles. The two fell silent, watching the pine trees. Roy ran his fingers through his thick dark hair, then put his hat back on. Cale was right. He should just forget about it. If only it were that easy. The road curved, and Roy slammed on his brakes as a snaking line of traffic blocked the road ahead. "Now what?" he grumbled. Orange construction signs soon provided the answer. "Good thing we're not in a rush." Cale slouched back against the seat again. They had planned this trip with plenty of leeway. Calgary Stampede didn't start for another 5 days. Roy hated sitting in traffic, though, no matter how much time they had. He picked up his phone and dropped it like a hot coal. Nope, he was done with that. The line of cars inched forward slowly. Cale sat up and pointed. "Wow, look at that flagger!" Roy slowed the truck. They both gaped at the girl holding the slow sign next to the road. A single golden braid hung down below her yellow hard hat. Her bronze shoulders gleamed in the afternoon sun. Roy and Cale did not even notice the orange vest. Roy slammed on the brakes to avoid rear-ending the station wagon in front of them. She looked at them, then looked away. "I've never seen a flagger like that before," Cale said. "Holy crap!" The truck started moving again. Roy lifted his hand from the wheel as they rolled past. The flagger gave them a slight nod and shifted the sign to her other hand. "Wow, that was just... wow!" Cale looked out the back window. "They grow 'em right here in South Dakota." He had no ex-girlfriends to consider. "She's definitely a cut above any construction worker I've ever seen." Roy shifted in his seat and looked in the mirror. "I think that girl's thirsty." "What?" "That girl needs a drink," Roy grinned. "It's hot out there, and she needs 2 debonair young men to come to her aid." He chuckled. This was better than worrying about some ex-girlfriend. "And since there aren't any debonair young men around," Cale watched her in the mirror as well, "you and me should get her a drink." Roy took his hat off and drummed his hand on the steering wheel. "We'll just hand her that drink and drive off. It'll be a cool story." "Just drive off?" Cale adjusted his own cap 3 times. "Yes, it'll make us mysterious," Roy said. "Well, okay, cowboy, if you say so. But she just might hit you with her sign." Are you sure this is legal? No, but who cares? She'll love it. It'll be cool. Roy ran his fingers through his hair. What beverage will you give to the fair lady? I thought a soda would be appropriate since she's on the clock. Roy turned off the highway. He actually hadn't thought about that part at all yet. I don't reckon they'd want her drinking alcohol on the job. Soda? In this heat, you'll make her sick, Gale said. Get her some water. Trust me on that one. I learned that the hard way one time. You can't buy a girl water. That's cheesy. Roy guided the truck into a gas station parking lot. Kale's comment gave him pause, but he still thought a soda was better. Well, buying a soda doesn't exactly make you James Bond. Kale opened his door when the truck stopped. Would you like a Pepsi? Your negativity does little for my confidence. Roy climbed out of his truck. Carry on then, valiant knight. Your squire will assist you in any way. Shut up, Roy laughed. Your accent sucks. Roy bought the icy beverage. Kale bought some Twizzlers. You gonna give her those? Roy clambered back into the blue Ford. Nope, these are mine. This is your rodeo. Kale decided he would let Roy do all the talking. Once again, they crept along in a line of cars. I much prefer the other end of the line, Kale pointed at the second flagger. His impressive beard was matched only by his impressive beer gut. Fix your hat hair, man, Kale said. Roy ran his fingers frantically through his flattened hair. He got it somewhat in order before they reached the end of the construction zone. When they rolled past the fair flagger, Roy held out the soda and stopped the truck. We thought you might be thirsty, he said. The girl looked at them in surprise and smiled. Roy grinned and handed her the can. This was going better than he had hoped. The car behind them honked four times. Roy paid it no mind. Thank you, you boys are sweet. She took the soda with a smile. A look of amusement replaced the surprise in her eyes. The driver behind them leaned on his horn. You're more than welcome, Roy stepped on the accelerator. That was awesome, Kale bit into a Twizzler. I think she was suitably impressed. Roy ran his hand through his hair one more time. His heart pounded. The car behind them stayed right on his bumper, but Roy ignored him completely. Oh yeah, I'm sure she'll tell her grandchildren all about it. Kale ate another Twizzler. Roy rubbed his hands together. You can be sarcastic if you want, but I still think it was cool. It was, but you do know that we have to turn around now and drive back through. That's going to spoil your whole ride off into the sunset thing. Roy had not considered that. I'll leave that part out when I tell my grandkids. He pulled into a driveway. The driver in the car behind them honked his horn and waved with one middle finger as he passed. Some people just aren't friendly. Kale ate another Twizzler. Roy pulled back onto the highway. Both of them felt a little bit awkward as they approached the stop sign for the third time in 20 minutes. The sign swung around to stop just as they reached it. Roy eased the truck right up to the sign. She looked at them with a grin. Are you two going to drive back and forth all day? Last time, we promise. Roy looked a bit sheepish. We're actually headed north. Did you bring me some food this time? She took a dramatic sip of her soda. No, but we can get you some if you want it. I got some Twizzlers. Kale held up the bag. She shook her head. I'm good, but if you want me to buy you a drink, be at the Rose Bowl Tavern in Spearfish. We usually go there after work. Okay, we'll see you there, Roy called over the noise of a passing semi. He had never expected it to go this well. The sign flipped around and they drove off with a little wave. She held up her soda and took another swig. Roy grinned as they wound through the construction zone. I guess we didn't creep her out, he put on his hat. I take it we won't make it to Canada tonight. Kale fiddled with the air conditioner vent. What's your rush? I told you she'd be impressed. Not objecting, just making an observation. I spent the rest of the afternoon looking for the Rose Bowl. Apparently the tavern had moved since the last time Google had come to Spearfish. When they found it, it was empty but for a few old-timers. Lively joint, Kale squinted in the dim light. The smell of old beer and popcorn filled the tavern. I'm starting to question the wisdom of this. Looks like a good place to me, Roy pointed at the faded George Strait poster on the wall. I told you I liked this place, Kale grinned. The boys had spent a good part of 1,000 miles listening to George Strait, and any girl that liked a place like this was their kind of girl. The place slowly filled up, but she still did not show. They passed the time with some surprisingly good burgers and soggy fries. Kale tried to find a good campground by divining information from the online reviews. Roy won $5 on a game of pool. About 2 hours later, she strode in like a queen, followed by a court of three burly construction workers. A straw cowboy hat had replaced the hard hat, and the boys could barely breathe. When she spotted them, she laughed out loud. "Wasn't sure you'd make it." She sauntered across the bar, followed by her highway honor guard. "Here are the mysterious stranger boys." She waved at Roy and Kale like she was modeling a car on a game show. Her companions eyed them suspiciously. Kale made a peace offering. "Well, you're here. Let us buy the first round," he said. "You've already bought me a drink." "That was him," he pointed at Roy. "Now it's my turn. You boys want a pitcher?" Everyone smiled and they slid two tables together. Amber liquid flowed and spirits improved. "I'm Amy," the young lady extended her hand. "I'm Roy and this is Kale." Roy shook her hand. It was surprisingly soft for a construction worker. "So do you boys just drive around offering drinks to road workers?" She dropped into a seat next to Roy. "Only the pretty ones." Roy filled her glass. Amy laughed and took a sip. "You're a charmer, aren't you, Roy?" Her eyes sparkled in the neon. Roy leaned back in his chair. "Not me, I'm just a harmless country boy." "How is it you're working the road, not on television, Amy?" Kale shifted in his chair. Amy smiled. "Look at you, not to be outdone." "I'm not a snake, boys," she took a sip. "You don't have to charm me with your music." "Not that I mind, of course." She leaned back and licked the foam off her lip. "Well, I don't know about music," Roy said, "but we were hoping there'd be some dancing." The sound of a fiddle tune followed his words. Roy started. He didn't actually think there'd be dancing. The only dance he could do was the slow song circle, which he'd perfected at his high school dances. After a few more drinks, the Rose Bowl Ramblers tore into a rollicking version of a Bob Wills tune. "What do you say, Snake Charmer?" Amy tipped her hat back. "You want to dance?" Roy stood up. "I'm not much a dancer, but I'll give it a try if you teach me." "Come on." She grabbed his hand and led him onto the tiny dance floor. Kale leaned back and downed his beer in one swig. Two of Amy's co-workers moved to the pool table, leaving Kale alone with a big man in a camouflage hat named Doug. "How do you keep your eyes on the road working with her all day?" he asked. Doug grinned and spit into an empty bottle. "It does make the day go by faster." He leaned in closer. "Your friend might want to be careful, though. Her boyfriend's a mean son of a bitch." He spit more tobacco. "He don't like anyone messing with her." Kale watched Roy take an awkward turn to a Merle Haggard song. Roy made up for his lack of skill by holding on tight. "We'll be gone in the morning anyway. Why is she working construction?" "Her uncle owns the company, and Mitchell, her boyfriend, is the manager." Doug scratched his enormous goatee. "So what do you boys do that you can drive around the country hitting on women?" "We're in college, just taking a couple weeks off to see the country before we get old and settle down." "That's a good idea. Amy's in college, too. Makes old Mitchell jealous as hell, worrying about them college boys." He spit into a bottle again. "You fellas are smart in what you're doing. Once you get an old lady, it's all over. You a married man, Doug?" "Not anymore." The band switched to George Strait. Roy and Amy danced a little closer. Kale headed to the bathroom, navigating carefully around a large, boisterous group of cell tower builders. When he came out, he heard loud, profane shouting. Rounding the jukebox, he saw Amy standing between Roy and a very large, angry man in a white t-shirt. Mitchell had arrived.
"What's this, Amy? Who's this bastard?"
The big man pushed forward.
"He's nobody. We're just dancing."
She pushed desperately on Mitchell's chest. Roy stood quietly with his hands at chest level.
"Well, nobody is about to get his ass beat." He pointed at Roy. "What the hell you doing dancing with her?"
Mitchell stepped forward, pushing Amy backwards.
"Calm down," Roy said. "We're just dancing. You don't own her."
Mitchell did not calm down. He broke into another string of profanity. Kale moved up beside his friends. The biggest and loudest cell tower builder lunged to his feet, knocking his chair to the floor.
"Shut up, dumbass! We're trying to hear the music!"
Mitchell spit out more obscenities in reply, and the stranger swung his huge right hand. Several drunken men stepped in, and a melee broke out right in the middle of the dance floor. A wild punch knocked Amy to the floor. Roy took a shot to the cheekbone as he tried to help her up. Kale jerked both of them to one side. Amy's co-workers leapt into the fray. Doug wrapped a big man in a bear hug. Somebody grabbed Roy and wrestled him to the ground. Kale ducked one punch and shoved his attacker into a table. The table crashed to the floor, sending ketchup all over the fallen man's shirt.
"I'm bleeding! I'm bleeding!"
He jumped up and scrambled past Doug out the door.
Somebody jumped on Doug's back and he spun around. Kale punched Doug's attacker in the kidneys. Two more tables and a microphone crashed to the floor. Roy leapt up and punched a man twice in the face. "Let's get the hell out of here," Kale said. Roy ducked another punch. Kale tackled a man wielding a pool cue. Mitchell and the big man waged a fierce main event in the middle of all the chaos. "The cops are coming! The cops are coming!" Ketchup Boy ran back inside. The cell tower workers dragged their woozy combatant toward the door, pulling him away from Mitchell. Mitchell threw one arm around Doug and another around Kale. The three of them staggered out the back. Kale tried to pull away, but Mitchell was too heavy. The bartender just swore at everyone. "The truck's this way," Doug shouted. They staggered through an alley full of garbage. Blood streamed down Mitchell's face and ran onto Kale's arm. Kale hoped he didn't have any diseases. He gasped for breath under the big man's heavy weight. Sirens wailed as they reached the four-door Chevy truck. Mitchell's blood colored the white paint as he leaned against the side. "Your keys in your pocket?" Doug said. Mitchell muttered something incoherent. Doug looked at Kale. "Get the keys from his pocket." "What? Grab his keys, hurry up, man. I can't get arrested again." Luckily, Mitchell managed to get the keys out. Kale breathed a sigh of relief. Doug unlocked the truck and they shoved Mitchell into the seat. Kale heaved his legs inside and they slammed the door. "Here, drive." Doug handed him the keys. "Me? Why?" "I'm too drunk, man. You want to be arrested?" Doug made his point by vomiting all over the sidewalk. Kale swore and scrambled in the driver's seat. He backed out while Doug jumped into the bed of the pickup. Kale turned down a side street just as two police cars stopped in front of the Rose Bowl. He rolled into the window down. "Go up three blocks and turn left," Doug called from the back. Mitchell moaned and held his mutilated nose. Blood still streamed down his shirt. Kale followed Doug's instructions till they stopped in front of a hospital. Mitchell finally roused up in his seat.
"Where the hell are we?"
He wiped blood from his mouth. Doug opened the passenger door and they blinked in the sudden light. "We're at the hospital, man. You took a hell of a beating."
"I don't need no damn hospital. I'm okay."
He looked at Kale.
"Who the hell are you?"
"He's Kale. He's all right," Doug said. "Come on."
"I don't need no damn hospital."
Mitchell stood up and nearly fell on his face. Doug grabbed his arm. "Give me a hand here, Kale." The two of them led Mitchell into the emergency room. A rotund nurse stood behind the counter watching them weave through the doorway.
"Need a doctor for my friend here," Doug said.
The woman handed them a clipboard. "Sit over there. Fill this out." Mitchell collapsed onto the plastic chairs. The rotund woman bought him a huge wad of gauze for his nose. Doug sat next to him and helped the still woozy Mitchell fill out his form. Kale called Roy, but Roy did not answer. Kale sat down and stared at the clock. Then he tried again.
Where was Roy?
As everyone scrambled from the dance floor, Roy found himself alone facing the bartender's wrath. He managed a meager apology before Amy grabbed his wrist and pulled him out the front door. They ducked around two cops who had their hands full with the biggest cell tower guy. He'd shaken off his friends and was busy resisting arrest. The cop car sat just behind Roy's truck, though, so they had to walk down to Amy's apartment, which thankfully was only a few blocks away.
"Why does he always do this?" Amy sobbed.
Roy said nothing. It's the third time she'd asked that question on this short journey. They climbed the rickety wooden stairs to her apartment door. She wiped her eyes and unlocked it.
"Is your eye okay?"
She led him into the tiny apartment. A tiny white dog ran out to greet them with short, irritating barks. Roy touched it gingerly. "I think I'll survive." It did hurt like hell.
"I'm so sorry." She handed him a package of frozen peas. "Put this on it. We don't eat it anyway. I don't even know why we bought it."
She started pacing. Roy put the icy peas against his battered eye. The dog yapped incessantly.
"I just can't believe this happened. Mitchell's such an idiot."
Tears streaked her mascara. She continued pacing and dabbed her eyes with a paper towel. Roy agreed with her assessment of Mitchell. They should have just driven off into the sunset. He sat down on the cluttered green couch, his eyes still throbbing with pain. He removed the piece.
"Is he always this jealous?" "Ever since I left for college."
She sat down and immediately stood up again. Roy stood up as well. "Why don't you leave him?" He watched her pace back and forth.
"Because he can be sweet. He's just under so much stress at work."
Roy put his hand on her shoulder. "That's bullshit. Don't defend him. You shouldn't allow anyone to treat you like that." The dog continued barking. Amy brushed his hand away.
"You sound like my mom."
She turned and lost her balance. Roy reached for her, but he tripped over the dog and stumbled down into her. They both tumbled to the floor.
The door opened and a small Asian girl stepped in. Her eyes grew wide and she screamed, "Get off her! Get off her!" She fumbled in her bag. Roy stood up quickly as the girl reached into her bag and pulled out a small cylinder. "No, Josie, it's okay!" Amy waved her hands and tried to stand. Roy felt something wet hit his cheek. Then his eyes turned to fire and the dog yelped. Roy dug his hands into his eyes and swore. "Get out of here, you bastard!" Josie sprayed him again, hitting his hands, which covered his eyes. They turned raw with pain. The burning trickled down his cheek and neck. Roy fell over the coffee table, completely blinded. "Josie, stop, stop, it's okay," Amy cried, wiping her own eyes. The dog yelped even louder, and Roy staggered up, swearing. He slammed to the wall and careened in the coffee table again, unable to see anything. His whole face burned, and tears streamed down his fiery cheeks. "Oh my gosh, Buckles!" Josie scooped up the yelping dog. "Get him to the sink!" Amy coughed. "Oh, okay." Josie carried the dog to the kitchen. "No, him!" Amy pointed at Roy, but Josie ignored her. Amy and Roy staggered to the bathroom. Roy could see nothing, and he couldn't stop coughing. He tripped over a kettlebell and banged his head on the door jamb. Amy turned on the shower, and Roy stuck his face under the cold water. He groaned and coughed as the water carried the pepper spray into new places. Amy stuck her head in the sink and scooped water into her eyes. "What the hell? Damn!" Roy said after he could finally speak again. "I'm so sorry," Amy said. She left to open all the windows, still coughing. Roy kept his head in the water. The cold water made his eyes feel better, but he could still see nothing. Something fell on his head. Reaching up, he felt a smooth towel. He grabbed it and dabbed his eyes. The coughing continued. Roy kept his head in the shower for at least 15 minutes before he could keep his eyes open. Even then, everything was a little blurry. The only thing that provided relief was that smooth towel. When he could finally hold his eyes open, he looked in the mirror. Those eyes were puffy and completely red. He dabbed them again and then noticed that his towel was actually a pair of pink underwear. Amy reappeared. She looked from his eyes to the underwear. "Sorry," Roy said. "It's okay, those are Josie's," Amy smiled and broke into another fit of coughing. "She hangs them in the shower to dry." Roy tossed the underwear into the bathtub. "I'm so sorry," Amy handed him an actual towel. "She thought you were attacking me. Tripped over the damn dog." "I know, I know." She coughed again. They could hear Josie still chattering over the Buckles in the kitchen. The yelping had changed to loud whimpering. "If it makes you feel any better, she got him too." Amy wiped her own eyes. "You know, it does, actually. Are you all right?" She smiled at him. "I guess I'll survive. You got the worst of it. You think your buddy got arrested?" Roy reached for his phone, then he remembered he'd left it in his truck, so he wouldn't see any more of Allie's texts. "I need to get my phone out of my truck." They stumbled to the kitchen, where Josie held the unfortunate Buckles in a towel. The dog had stopped whimpering, but he blinked constantly and looked at Roy with huge red eyes. Roy knew just how he felt. Josie gave Roy a sheepish grin. "Sorry. It's all right. You didn't know," he said. He walked outside and stood at the top of her stairs. They could still see the flashing lights of the police car. So they waited until the lights left and then sent poor Josie down to bring back the truck. Cale swore as he hung up the phone again. Where was Roy? For 2 hours he'd been sitting in this damn waiting room listening to Mitchell. A bad wreck on I-90 meant those hurt and drunken brawls would just have to wait. Mitchell's nose pained him greatly and he seemed to have a concussion. The nurse had given him some pain medication and now he was uncomfortably chatty.
"Why would she do this to me?" he lamented for the 100th time. "I love her."
He put his head in his huge hands. Doug looked at Cale and shook his head. They had both run out of things to say.
Mitchell clapped Cale heavily on the shoulder. "You're all right, man." He recounted his troubles with Amy again.
Cale had no advice to offer, and he was pretty sure Mitchell wouldn't remember it anyway. Finally, he could take no more. "I'm going to go have a smoke." He didn't smoke, but he joined the trio of nurses in the smoker's hut anyway. When they left, he tried Roy again with no success. He shoved his phone back in his pocket. Could this get any worse?
"You have a light?"
Cale turned to see a woman holding a cigarette in one hand and a bottle in the other. Her leopard print skirt was entirely too short. "No, sorry, just sitting out here. You have a bottle opener? I really need a drink." She staggered up to him. Cale thought the last thing she needed was another drink. "Nope, sorry." The woman plopped down next to him. Her pungent hairspray almost covered the smell of alcohol in her breath. He slid away from her. "That's too bad." She dug a comb out of her purse and tried to open the bottle with it. After 3 clumsy minutes, she gave up and put her comb back in her purse. It pained Kale to watch, so he looked away. She sighed heavily. My boyfriend threw me out.
Oh, really?
Kale shifted all the way to the edge of the bench.
Yeah, we've been fighting for some time.
Sorry to hear that.
Where was Roy?
I got a place to go, though, don't worry.
She patted Kale's leg. I'm going to stay in my girlfriend's trailer. She works here. I'm just waiting for her to get off. She twisted the cap unsuccessfully.
Finally, Kale could take no more. He stood and jerked the beer out of her hand. Holding the cap against the edge of the table, he slammed his other hand down on top. The cap popped off, and Kale nearly dropped the bottle as beer foamed out over his hand. He handed her the bottle.
Oh, thank you. You're so sweet.
She took a big swig and stopped talking. Kale breathed a sigh of relief. She offered the bottle to Kale, but he shook his head.
I had my first baby at this hospital, she said, after another drink.
Kale's phone rang.
Excuse me,
he bolted from the smoker's hut.
Where the hell are you? He said before Roy could speak. Where are you?
Well, I'm at the hospital with the jackass who tried to beat you up. I've been sitting here for 2 hours listening to him ramble on about your new love. You been arrested?
No, but I have been pepper sprayed.
Well, I guess I'm doing okay then. Are you coming over any time today?
I'll be there soon, Roy said.
Half an hour later, Roy pulled into the drive. Amy breezed past Kale without a word. She went straight into the hospital, calling for Mitchell.
Kale laughed at Roy's bloodshot eyes.
Looking kind of rough there, partner.
I think you better drive. Let's get out of here.
Roy tossed the keys to Kale.
Kale nodded toward the hospital. What about her?
We said our goodbyes in the truck.
Roy looked like a man fleeing a fire. They climbed in the truck without a backward glance.
They headed north out of town on a country road. As they drove, they shared their misadventures. Between this and Roy's watery eyes, they made a few wrong turns.
Damn, can't you read a phone?
Kale guided the truck into the driveway of an old country cemetery.
Got no service, man. Just go that way. It'll hit 85 eventually.
What are you looking at your phone for, then?
I'm enjoying all your texts about your wonderful conversation with Mitchell.
Roy grinned. I notice they get more profane the longer you waited.
I bet better conversation with Dryer Lint.
Kale rubbed his eyes. Man, I am tired. The clock read 2:30.
Let's just sleep here, Roy said.
Here? In the cemetery?
Kale asked.
Why not? It's not going to rain. We don't even need the tent.
All right.
Kale drove to the back of the cemetery. They threw their sleeping bags on the ground and crawled in immediately. The glittering stars hung just overhead. A gentle, cool wind stirred the grass and whispered through the few hardy evergreen trees that grew around the gravestones. Somewhere far away, a dog barked.
Man, I'm hungry, Kale settled into his sleeping bag.
You ate at the bar?
Yeah, but that was hours ago.
Roy folded his pillow.
Well, there's some pork and beans in the truck.
I'm going to start a fire in a cemetery to warm up pork and beans.
Kale pulled a stick from under his sleeping bag.
Why would you ruin pork and beans by warming up? They're best cold.
What's wrong with you?
Kale said. Cold pork and beans, that's disgusting. You just don't know what's good.
Our ancient ancestors invented fire so we could eat warm pork and beans, not some cold, nasty slop.
Kale tossed another stick.
Oh, I'm sure they ate plenty of cold, nasty slop,
Roy shifted again.
That's right, mammoth and beans every night.
Kale rolled onto his side. They both fell silent. Roy looked up at the stars. He realized suddenly he hadn't thought about Allie even once since the afternoon.
There's one nice thing about not having cell service, Roy said. I can't see any more texts from Allie.
You don't reckon she's texting you at 2 a.m?
No, I doubt it.
Well, you can always go back to Amy.
Kale found a third stick.
Roy smiled up at the stars.
I think we'll go our separate ways.
You gotta admit, though, that was fun at first.
Yeah, I suppose you're right, although you were dancing with Amy and I was talking with Doug.
You didn't like Doug?
Well, he was a nice guy, but he didn't have the same qualities that Amy did.
She did have nice qualities, Roy.
After a little more shifting and turning, the boys joined the peaceful citizens of the cemetery in a quiet, albeit more temporary, slumber.
The crunching of tires on gravel awoke them. The sun stood just barely over the horizon.
Kale sat up. Oh, shit, we got problems. It's the cops. Both boys staggered out of their sleeping bag as a dirty SUV with a star on the side stopped next to the truck.
The man inside looked at them for a minute after he shut off the engine.
You boys know it's illegal. Sleep in cemeteries, the lawman said.
His close-cropped hair told of his military background.
No, sir, we didn't, but we were lost, and, well, we'll be on our way, Kale said.
The lawman looked at Roy's truck.
Boys are a long way from home. Just headed north to Canada. Roy put his hat on. Canada, huh? Nice place. You fellas are not on a road to Canada. Well, as I said, we got a little lost in the dark and just decided to wait for morning, Kale said. The sheriff adjusted his belt. Mm-hmm. I got an interesting call from Spearfish PD last night. Boys tried hard not to look at each other, but failed. Had a little dust-up at the Rose Bowl. Nice place. Good music. Apparently had some property damage. They caught most of the combatants, but several eyewitnesses reported a truck with out-of-state plates parked outside. Look, we won't lie to you, Roy said. We were there, but the fight started around us, and we just got out of there. The sheriff looked at both of them in silence. It became extremely awkward. Kale licked his lips and shifted on his feet. Well, be that as it may, you should probably still answer some questions. The boys looked at each other again. Neither had been arrested before. So, why are you going into Canada? The lawman asked. Headed up to see the Calgary Stampede, Roy said. The sheriff considered that for a minute. And I tell you what, boys, I should really haul you in for SPD, he looked at his watch. But I got horses that need fed, and I don't want to mess with it. Kale stopped holding his breath. Now, Jimmy, the owner of the Rose Bowl, told me you knuckleheads did over $1,000 in damage last night. Roy wanted to point out that they, in fact, had done no damage, but he decided to remain silent. Now, I can get most of that from the others, but you boys need to pitch in some as well. If you cover the damages, you can go on your way. And what you talking? Kale said. Sheriff scratched his chin. I'd say about 400 to cover it. Jimmy's a good friend of mine. If he gets the cash, he'll be all right. Roy started to protest, but thought better of it. They pooled their money and handed it to the sheriff. Thanks, fellas. You saved me a lot of hassle. Now get yourself to Canada and don't let me see you in this county again. He stuffed the money in his shirt pocket. What's the fastest way there? Roy said through clenched teeth, mentally calculating how much money remained in his wallet. Sheriff pointed. Stay on this road till you get to Big Grain Bend. Turn right, drive to T. When you get there, turn right again and you'll get to 85. It's only about 5 miles. Thank you, sir. Kale grabbed his sleeping bag. The sheriff looked at them both sternly. Stay on the main road. This is ranch country, and those boys get a little tense about strangers on their land. Sheriff, we just want to get to Canada. Kale rolled up his sleeping bag. Sheriff chuckled. Good luck, fellas. He started his SUV and roared away. The boys tossed their sleeping bags in the truck. Damn, that was more than half the gas money. Kale slammed the tailgate. Roy opened the door. Beats staying in jail, I guess.
20 minutes later, they pulled on to 85, and the Great Plains opened up before them. You're right about one thing, Roy, Kale said. What's that? It will be a good story.
Roy grinned and turned up the George Strait.
Stay tuned next week for episode 2, Ranger Leads the Way. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so that you can get every episode whenever I release it. Thanks again for listening. See you next time.